I'm glad to be in God's house today to worship the Lord, to be together as God's people. And we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And we're thankful to him, as the text tells us, and bless his name. Just want to remind you of the government regulations as far as places of worship are concerned. We can remain open, as we said last Lord's Day. The coverings, face coverings, are mandatory when entering and exiting the building. And as we said at the early morning prayer meeting, we're very grateful that this liberty is still preserved for us. We're still able to come to the house of God in these days. And if we can just ask you not to linger about anywhere in the building afterwards. This is important for everyone's safety. Our Tandragee Church, for example, is closed today. They have quite a few cases. Don't think it broke out in the church, but still people are coming to church with it, and they discovered it last or during the week. And so therefore they've had to close today, and that can become more and more prevalent if we're not careful. So we're asking you to be very careful in these days. I've often and for a long time believed that those who are elderly and those that are vulnerable need to be specially careful, and the rest of the population needs to be sensible. So if we can be like that, it'll help greatly. As we worship God, we sing together the hymn 90. Oh, how sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still he loves to save the sinful, heal the sick and lame, cheer the mourner, calm the tempest, glory to his name. Just keep our seats.
Thank you.
psalm for today is the Psalm 37. This is Andrew's psalm. It's indelibly etched in his mind and heart. Very first sermon that he ever preached as a 15-year-old boy in the land of Kenya, when hands were laid upon him suddenly, and he was said to bring a wee word, just like that. He thought he would read Psalm 37. It's a great psalm. Let's hear some of the opening verses, the opening 9 verses. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. We'll end the reading there, knowing that God will bless it to our hearts. As we come to pray, you will know there is a man who is particularly in our hearts, in our thoughts and prayers, and that's Dr. Cairns. I think most of you know now that he's critically ill in the intensive care unit of the Causeway Hospital. And yesterday, a step had to be taken to ventilate him, and we're trusting that now what's happening in this procedure will be to his benefit, and the treatment that he's getting while he has been put to sleep will be effective. We had a great prayer meeting this morning. It was a call to prayer, and we thank those who were able to come at 8 o'clock to seek the Lord on his behalf, to pray for him, to pray for his wife, to pray for his family. We're asking you, as we did last week, to remember our health service. If you've been listening to the news and hearing any local reports from our nurses and doctors, you will know that things are quite stressed and strained in our hospitals and at the A&E departments. They are queued out onto the road, and things are quite poorly there, especially a lot of people coming to be tested for the symptoms of COVID. We are in prayer for Desi Moore, who has major surgery, God willing, on Tuesday. We're asking our people to remember him at the throne of grace in prayer in these days. This morning we learned that another dear man from the church here has tested positive, and that's our brother Eamon Keane, and he got a positive test this morning, so we're remembering him at the throne of grace in prayer. We are remembering the Tandragee Church. As we met this morning, the minister sent me a text to say he's praying with us for Dr. Cairns, and we want to remember the congregation as they can't meet just now. David McCauley is in Sandown tonight. You want to remember David as he goes there to preach the word. So these are things that are very much upon our minds. If my people, which are called by my name, you've seen this text now week by week for months. It's been our key text all the way through. And if you are a child of God, you are his people. You're called by his name. And in the midst of any kind of pestilence, that's the context here. What are we to do? We're to humble ourselves. We are to pray. We're to seek the face of God, turn from our wicked ways. And the promise is, then will I hear from heaven.
and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So we pray with this text in mind in these days. Let us seek the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that there is a place that we can come to, a place where we are accepted, an open door right to the presence of God, to the throne of heavenly grace. We have the right as those who are your people, for you have made us priests unto God, to approach the Most High and to do so in Jesus' name and through the value and the merit of his blood. We have nothing else to bring, nothing else to plead, but Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. We're gathered here in this building today, thanking thee that the building is still opened for worship and fellowship and the declaration of your word. We thank thee that we still have this freedom and liberty to enjoy. We don't want to go back to those days when church buildings were closed. And so we're asking the Lord to preserve this blessing for his people. And we're asking thee to help us to be sensible in these days also. We are very mindful of one of our own who is very sick today, our brother Dr. Kearns. And Lord, we want to again lift him to the Lord and to pray for him the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We think of how the illustration is given by James of Elijah, a man of like passions as we are. And he prayed and was heard in heaven. And Lord, we come as ordinary men and women, nothing very special about us, except your grace that has triumphed in us, but to pray for this dear man, to pray in faith, to pray fervently and earnestly, to pray through the merit of Christ and the righteousness of our Savior, by which we are accepted now, to pray that matters will change for the better, that thou wilt turn around the situation. And Lord, it's not just for our asking or for the benefit of his family, and we feel so much for them, but for your glory, that Alan Kearns will be restored to health again. We are your people. We're called by your name. And on the basis of your word, we humble ourselves now, and we pray and we seek your face. We turn from our sin. And Lord, with this, we claim the promise of your word that thou wilt hear from heaven. Forgive us, and heal our land of this pestilence, and heal thy servant in his body, and guide the nurses and doctors in the care that they give. Be with Mrs. Kearns. We pray that thou wilt strengthen her in her home, in loneliness, weariness and tiredness. We pray that thou wilt be her stay, for thou art the rock of her salvation. Thou art your people's high tower, our pavilion, our shelter, that place that we can run to in the times of storm. And Lord, it's a time of storm in this family. We pray for Frank and Whitney and their children, that thou wilt keep them in the hollow of your hand. We pray for as many dear friends here in the Hebron Church, in the Greenville Church, and right across the world in our presbyteries, who know him, who love him, and who feel for him at this time. And Lord, if we feel for him, how much more the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him, just now at the right hand of the Father, as the great heavenly high priest feels for our brother Kearns. where thou wert touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We remember Eamon today as well. We remember others that are suffering with this virus, that thou wilt be with them and help them. We remember Desi Moore facing surgery this week. We pray for his protection. We pray for the success of the surgery. We pray for the presence of God to go with him and help him through. We remember the Tandragee Church, that thou wilt bless the congregation there. This is a difficult Sabbath when they can't meet as normal. We thank thee for the tremendous prayer meeting that we had this morning. For those who prayed, we know that it was not only that volume outwardly, but in the hearts of all of your people crying to God this day. Remember our hospital staff, our doctors and nurses, and those that are involved in the health service. They need you every day. We hear of so many who have to isolate. That enormous figure of 2,700. Oh God, protect them and keep them. And may our health service be sustained and all the staff that is necessary in these days. Bless our worship today, our meeting here, the special meeting this afternoon, tonight's gospel service. Our brother David as he goes to Sandown. Remember all of our students. We commit them to thee. Shut us in with yourself. Make this a special time. Want to meet with the Lord and be blessed in our souls. Hear this, our prayer, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to run through the announcements. We'll do that quickly. We welcome you to the church service. We welcome those who are on the internet listening in. There's a special service that I've been asked to speak at this afternoon at 3:30 in the Independent Hall. It is a Reformation service. Remember us there as we seek to bring the Word of God, and then as we return here tonight at 7 o'clock to preach. Thursday night is our missionary night, and we have a deputation service that has been booked for a long time. Simon and Hannah Snodgrass, who are going out as missionaries with the CEF to labour in Scotland. And this is the night that we pray for our missionaries and for revival. Friday night, the Youth Fellowship will be participating in a night of prayer. This is organized by the Youth Council, but young people will be staying in their own churches and praying together. And Ryan will bring a message tonight, or on Friday night. If he wants to preach tonight, that's okay. But there's no quiz, young people. It's a time of prayer, getting around the Word of God and then to the throne of grace. Saturday is the farewell service for the Reverend and Mrs. Boyd. It's the welcome service for Alejandro and Vanessa and their family. You will be able to see this, God willing, because it will be live on Facebook, and the link will be provided. Samuel will be able to get that out to the announcement coming near the time. We hope to be speaking at the welcome service. It was our plan to travel to Spain. As you know, the flights were booked, and then we had difficulty with the airline, and they cancelled, and it was difficult to get rescheduled, but I think it's all in the plan and the providence of God with everything that's happening both here and in Spain. And so we're going to do this remotely and preach the word from a distance. Pray that the technology all comes together. Prayer meeting is 8 o'clock next Sabbath day. Sunday school, 10:45, same time for the Bible class. God's gracious governance is the subject that Phil is dealing with these Sundays. I'll be here, God willing, to preach at the 12 noon service. And Mr. Simon Anderson at family night will be coming to give his testimony. Our student that has been placed with us, we look forward to that. We thank you for your giving, your contributions to God's work in all aspects of the ministry. And the collection plates are at the door in these days. Can I remind you that the calendars are available? These are the calendars for next year that are printed by Let the Bible Speak. All the proceeds go to the ministry of the gospel being preached worldwide. The price is £3.50 per calendar. We look to the Lord in these days for his blessing upon all aspects of the work of God here, and remembering the sick and the needy, these names that are with us every week. Can I congratulate Ian and Esther on the birth of their twins, Harry Alexander and Anna Ellen, boy and a girl, obviously, and we congratulate the proud grandparents who are members here. And we think of Mervyn and Joy at this time and their family. We're able to mention to you this week about the Bible distribution in Pakistan, these grants of money that have gone out, and the Word of God has been purchased and given out. And so therefore, it was a real joy on Tuesday, and we showed those that were with us on Tuesday this slide, to see these young ladies at the Thara Tara Sewing Centre with the Word of God in their hands and able to follow the verses that we were bringing to their attention. This is the group that the Reverend Harris is involved with, Brother John, and likewise the scriptures that have been given out, and it's become a real blessing to these people. We did mention about the sewing center, and Alicia made an appeal for extra sewing machines, and gifts came in very generously to purchase 5 more. So we're thankful for that. 4 of them have been purchased, and that's them there, and this will be a blessing to them. These pictures were sent to me this week. The Indian Orphan Project continues, and we're glad we're able to share these slides with you from time to time. We received a very generous gift of £1,000 for the Nepal Vehicle Appeal. I want to acknowledge that and thank the one who sent it to us. And we trust that this need will be met. These are all the announcements that we need to make. We're singing together 388. Love with everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me, it is so. The hymns chosen have been chosen in the earlier part of the week, thinking of the message that we're bringing today. And this is a beautiful hymn. I trust that the truth of it will really get into our hearts and be a blessing. I am his, and he is mine. That's an unchangeable, eternal truth for the people of God. Nothing can disturb that. Nothing can change that. Nothing can alter it or take it away. Every Christian here, saved by grace, can say, I am his. He is mine.
Thank you.
come to Mark chapter 1, to our series in this gospel, Mark chapter 1. I'm going to read four verses from verse 9 through to verse 12. Pay particular attention to the 11th verse, our text. Let's look at it, Mark 1, verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to our meditations in this chapter, in this gospel. And as always, we are weak and frail of ourselves, either to preach the word or to hear it, to understand it, to apply it, to take it in. And therefore, we desperately need the great teacher who is the Holy Spirit to come and sit with us in this time. We're praying for the Lord to take away distractions. There's so many things would fill our minds. We're asking thee to give us the power of concentration. Help us, Lord, to devour your word. Help us to drink it in this day. Help us to be blessed by it in the midst of all the turmoil that surrounds us, amidst all the grief that has been filling our hearts in these days. Oh, turn our eyes upon Jesus now in these minutes, that we might meditate upon the beloved Son, the dear Son, the only begotten Son of the Father. Help me to bring your message now. I feel my weakness, but Lord, make me strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Meditations from Mark, a study in the second gospel. And as we look at verse 11, I want to preach on Christ, the beloved Son. The Father's seal of approval. That's what we have in this text as the Almighty speaks from heaven. In verse 11, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It must have been a most momentous occasion. What must it have been just to have been one in the crowd standing there at the banks of the Jordan when Jesus came? What an honor and a privilege for each Jewish family to be present when Jesus is introduced to the world, baptized in the waters of Jordan, for the heavens to open, the Holy Spirit of God to descend upon Christ, and the voice of the Father to be distinctly heard in the words that I've just read to you in verse 11. There was a voice of a man, we know that, a preacher, a prophet, a God-anointed, chosen vessel, John the Baptist, and he is speaking about Christ as he comes to introduce him and to exalt him before men. And here's what John said. If you look there at verse 7 of the chapter, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And just to get the connection a little bit more, and what John said, we go back to Matthew 3 and verse 12. He says here, he's talked about the Holy Spirit and the same information given Mark in verse 11, but here in verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is John speaking here at the Jordan, about the Lord Jesus who has just come. And this is what he's saying about the Lord just prior to his entering And then, of course, when you go to John chapter 1 and verse 29, he is proclaiming as Christ now is to be seen there coming in the distance, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." So there's a voice of a man. But more importantly, there was a voice from heaven. And it's the voice of God the Father, who addresses his own dearly beloved Son on earth at the commencement of his ministry there at the Jordan. Here is the Christ of God now standing in the body of a man with God's Spirit just descended upon him. And the Father was heard to say something to him. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Luther, referring to this incident, wrote of highest things. He says there's the highest preacher, God, the highest pulpit, the heavens, and the highest sermon. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The psalmist prophesied of this moment when the Father would give his blessing of approval to his own Son. And that, of course, takes us back to that lovely verse in the Psalm 2 and verse 7 and verse 8. We'll take that in. "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Then ask of me, and I shall give you the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." There is a rich mine of comfort in these words for Christ-believing people who would seek to be like Christ, by the way. One who pleases God in all that they do and say. The Father is able to say, "This is my Son, my beloved Son. I'm well pleased in him." And if you want to have the same kind of testimony, you want to be able to please the Lord, that God the Father can look down upon you and say, "You're my child by grace, you're my child by the new birth, and I'm well pleased with you." Never forget how God loves us. Never forget that. And how God views us. He views us through his own Son. And so I want to take this text, and I trust the Lord will help us to really understand what is being said here. First of all, there is the affirmation of relation. God is calling the Lord Jesus my Son. Now, John Mark begins his gospel with this declaration in the opening verse. You'll remember this in our study, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's who he is. And we studied that verse and we saw the implications and what that meant, proclaiming the deity of Christ, the Son of God, in a unique way, in a way that nobody else was the Son of God. Eternal generation, he was the Son of God from all eternity, and that never stops. And this great truth was proclaimed through the whole ministry of Christ. It was proclaimed by Nathanael in John chapter 1 and verse 49. When he met the Lord, and the Lord had known all about him and remembered him when he sat beneath the fig tree. Whatever meditations he had there, the Lord Jesus was able to talk to him about that occasion. And that brought Nathanael to declare, "Rabbi," or "Master, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." It was proclaimed by Martha in John chapter 11 and verse 27. Standing near the tomb of her brother when the Lord Jesus Christ has come. Maybe not quite at the tomb as yet, but Martha has ran out to meet him as he was coming to the town. And standing there in the presence of her dear Lord and Savior, Martha said, "Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." It was proclaimed by Peter in Matthew 16. And verse 16, in his great declaration of confession, whenever Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," in response to what was happening in the conversation between the Lord and his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" That was the general question. And the disciples say, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist," because there were characteristics that were found in Christ that were so similar to John. Others say, well, you are Elias or Elijah the prophet. That Jesus is the Son of God, but now here's the Father declaring it from heaven as he speaks about his Son just there at the banks of the Jordan. Thou art my beloved Son. You're my Son. I want you to see, secondly, that there is a proclamation of affection. I want to dwell on this point more than the first one, and with one short one to make at the end. Because he calls him his beloved son. This is a proclamation of affection. Now, this is not the only time that God called down from heaven to declare Jesus to be his beloved son. There was another occasion at the transfiguration of Christ when he took Peter, James, and John up into the mountain and he was transfigured before them. We know the brightness of his clothing, and we know that the Father's voice was heard to say these same words, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And incidentally, there was one other time, and just one other time, when the Father's voice was heard from heaven. And that's in John chapter 12 and verse 28 in the courts of the temple. There came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it," that's the name of Christ, "and will glorify it again." But there's this occasion at the baptism of the Lord, and then, of course, later at the transfiguration, when this proclamation of affection was made by the Father speaking from heaven, and he calls him his beloved Son. The word beloved is the Greek word agapetos. It comes from the verb that I think most of you will be familiar with, agape, which means love, which literally means unconditional love, such as the Father for the Son. Agapetos describes one who is in a very special relationship with another. In secular Greek, it is used mostly of a child, especially an only child, to whom all the love of his parents or her parents is given. And the Old Testament equivalent is used by God the Father to describe the love that Abraham had for his only son, Isaac. And that takes us to Mount Moriah, back in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2. This great challenge in the life of the patriarch when God says, "Behold, now take thy son, thine only son Isaac," and here's the Old Testament equivalent to the New Testament, "whom thou lovest." A special love, an agape love, an unconditional love. You take your son, your only son. Oh, there was Ishmael. But this is the only son, really, as far as God was concerned, and as far as Abraham was concerned. The son of promise, the son of covenant. Take him whom thou lovest and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. In this title that is used of Christ by the Father, we get a glimpse of the Father's love for his Son. The agape love of the New Testament speaks of God's infinite love, a love that seeks the ultimate spiritual welfare of the one who is loved. The expression, "my beloved Son," here in Mark chapter 1, or you could translate it, "my Son, the beloved one," has the thought of referring to one who is the only one of, or of God the Father speaking of Jesus, his beloved Son. In Matthew 3, verse 17, it's the same occasion, the baptism of Christ. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 18, I'll come back to that just in a moment. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, it's the transfiguration of Christ. Here in our text, Mark chapter 1, verse 11, the baptism of Christ. And then in chapter 9 and verse 7, it's the transfiguration of Christ. And then chapter 12 and verse 6, I'll come back to that one. And then Luke chapter 3, verse 22, the baptism of Christ. So three of the references are the same to do with the baptism of the Lord. Two of the references are the same, the transfiguration of Christ. But I want to read just the other ones that I mentioned to you there. First of all, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 18. "Behold my servant," he's now quoting from the prophecy of Isaiah, that prophecy that speaks of the Lord Jesus. "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." This is speaking of the dear Lord Jesus, my beloved. Again, the Father referring to him in such terms. The other one is in Mark chapter 12 and verse 6 that I want to mention to you. "Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them." And there, of course, the reference points to Christ, who is the well-beloved Son of the Father. These references describe one not only greatly loved, but also unique, the only one of his class. God uses the term to describe his only Son, the Son of his love. And it gives us some idea of the preciousness of this word, beloved. Christ was the object of the Father's love eternally, from all eternity. This was an unchangeable, eternal truth that never diminished one iota, even during Christ's humiliation when he came to this earth. As Christ came to fulfill all righteousness on behalf of his people, there was never a moment when this truth altered one little bit. Despite the fact that Jesus humbled himself to take upon him our flesh, despite the fact that he walked on this earth in the body of a man, despite the fact that he would soon enter into the darkness of temptation and would be coming to that soon in this study, and despite the fact that he was despised and rejected, and he went on to bear our sins when the Father would turn his face away, this truth never altered. Christ was always the beloved Son of the Father. The eternal, infinite love of the Father was constantly and unchangeably upon his Son. He was the delight of his Father in glory before the foundations of the earth were laid, or this universe was called into existence. And we understand that, don't we? If we can try to imagine in some small way what it must have been way back there in the eternity of the past, if we can use that term, when the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were there together, Christ was the object of the Father's love in the beauty and the splendor, the purity and the perfection of that great eternity. The eternal, infinite love of the Father. But then came the incarnation. 4,000 years into the world's history, the beloved Son descends into our humanity, taking upon himself a human frame to walk in this world of sin. And during those 33 and a half years, to be more precise, of his life on earth, he was under the special care and love of his Father. There was never a moment in that entire 33 and a half year period when the love of the Father was withdrawn. Christ was always the beloved Son, even at the end of his sojourn on earth, when he entered into the climax of his ministry, facing the indescribable sorrows and sufferings which came upon him there in the garden, when the incomprehensible agony of soul was felt, when Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground, he was still the well-beloved Son of the Father. Arrested, misused, shoved and beaten and mocked and spat upon and abused in every conceivable way, he was still the beloved Son. Under the frightful whiplashes of the scourge, when his visage, his appearance was marred more than any man, he was still the object of divine love, the love of the Father. When long eastern thorns were plaited and pushed into his brow, he was still the beloved Son. Nailed hand and foot and lifted up there at Calvary upon the cross to die, he was still the beloved Son. The eternal wrath of God being poured upon him now without measure. When they laughed him to scorn, in the shadow of the cross, he was still God's beloved. When the waters of divine wrath washed over his soul, and Jesus sunk in the deep mire, he was still the beloved of the Father. When they gave him gall for his meat and vinegar for his drink, he was still the beloved. When he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, smitten of God and afflicted, he was still the beloved Son. When brought as a lamb to the slaughter, he was still the beloved Son. Yes, when Jehovah lifted up his rod and Christ it fell upon thee, the love of the Father had not changed one bit. When the Almighty struck his own dear Son for our sins, it was still the same. Yes, even when he lifted up his voice on high and he cried from the very depths of his innermost being, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's still the beloved Son. Christ is the beloved Son of the Father. And as such, he was that in an inseparable relationship. It's unique. But here's something that I want to say. And I must say something most precious and most sweet. And I want you to listen to this. I hope you're following me. I hope you're sitting up and listening really intently now. I want to say this. The Father loves us just the same. God Almighty says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I want you to know that the love that the Father has for the Son is the same love that he has for you and I, who are the Lord's people. And I want you to grasp that. I want you to understand it. The word beloved is used of the believer. I think of Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God. It's the same word. Called to be saints. That's incredible. As I think about it, I can't take that in. It is infinite, eternal, unparalleled, unchangeable, incomprehensible love. In fact, Jesus says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. That's mind-boggling, isn't it, really? And you're loved. You're loved in the good times. That's undeniable. You know, we can say things are well with us. We're in the sunshine and blessing. We know that He loves us. I think you know where I'm going with this. We're loved in the hard times, difficult times. He never stops loving His children. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? From the love of God, which is in Christ. When Paul asked that question to the Roman church, he put all kinds of scenarios before them. Things that people might be tempted to think. And passing through this, and is it possible that the Father doesn't love me? I'm separated from His love at this moment. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Oh, my dear child of God, nothing, nothing can separate you from the love of God. And nothing can separate Brother Cairns from His love. And Mrs. Cairns today, nothing. Are you in tribulation? Are you in distress? Are you facing persecution? Has some other calamity overtaken your life? God has never stopped loving you. Those of you that are called according to God's purpose, you are under the special care and love of God. But here's a question that I need to ask you. The declaration of God the Father is about His Son. He's the beloved Son. And I'm saying to you that we are also beloved of God. And the same love that God the Father has for His Son is the same love that He has for you and I. But I think we need to ask in the light of this, is Jesus Christ, the beloved of the Father, beloved to you? Is He? Dear Christian, His eternal, electing, infinite, inseparable love is upon you. He loves you with everlasting love. As the hymn writer tells us in that hymn that is based upon Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, in a love which cannot cease, we sang it earlier, I am His and He is mine. But you see, the question or the challenge is, what is our love to Him? Is He the beloved Savior? Is He the object of your devotion and your desire? Do you run to Him? Do you pant after the Lord? Do you seek Him? Do you put Him before all others in your life? Do we have to confess that we're like the church in Ephesus? We've left our first love. Am I speaking to some Christian here in this meeting now? Maybe listening on the internet. And your love for the Lord is not what it used to be. And you don't have the first love. When you first came to know Him and trusted Him as your Savior, when nothing was too great for you to do for him. And my, you had no problem saying in the very depths of your heart, I love the Lord. My Jesus, I love thee. But it's not the same today. You've drifted away. He's never drifted from you, but you've drifted away in your love for him. Or I wonder, is your case even more pathetic today? And it's like the other church at the end of the seven, the Laodicean church, and your love is lukewarm. And you'll know from the study that I did a few years ago that Jesus says concerning the lukewarm church that he will spew them out of his mouth. And we sought reverently to use the expression, it makes Christ sick. Oh, I trust that that's not where we are today, either leaving our first love or with the lukewarm attitude. But alas, we do have to mourn that our love is not what it ought to be. Oh, to have the love that brought Mary of Bethany to the feet of Christ, where she poured her precious box of spikenard ointment over his feet. And you know what she was saying in her heart as she did that? My Jesus, I love thee. And I want to be able to say in truth from the depths of my soul, as Peter did, when the Lord asked him the question, lovest thou me? I want to be able to say in honesty, as God looks at my heart, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. The proclamation of affection. He loves his beloved son. One final little point. We have the declaration of commendation. Here's the approval of God now. In whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. The expression well beloved means to take delight in. Comes from the Greek word euodikeo, from euo, which means well, and dikeo, that means to think. And so it literally means to think well of, to be well pleased with, to take delight or pleasure in. The Father took pleasure and delight in his beloved Son. No wonder Jesus could say when he was here on the earth, I do always those things that please him, that pleases the Father. The Father was well pleased with the Son in his obedience. Jesus was obedient unto death. All his life through, the obedient Son, living righteously, purely, and holy, keeping the law and obeying the commandments on behalf of his people. The Father was well pleased with his Son in his sacrifice. You go to the cross and watch Jesus die. The one who is the propitiation for our sin, who there in his great offering of the cross was turning away the wrath of God by the means of the sacrifice that he's now making. Here the once and for all time sacrifice for sin is made. The just wrath of the holy God descends upon Mount Calvary, indeed upon this dearly beloved Son. Jesus pays the ransom and he discharges his obligations. He satisfies divine justice. He makes full atonement for sin. And the Father's well pleased. He looks on there at the cross, all the sufferings and the sacrifice that Jesus made, and the Father is well pleased with what Jesus did. Just as I close, I should ask the question, is God well pleased with us? Undoubtedly, he was well pleased with the Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Is he well pleased with us today? Do we have the testimony that Jesus had when he said, I do always those things that please him? Can we even come near the testimony of Enoch, who we know walked with God, but the Bible says that he had this testimony that he pleased God? Does our life, our conduct, our witness, our character, our speech, all that we are, all that we do, all that we say, does it please God? I trust that we'll aim to be like the beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for you know that he died to make us like him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you've been with us in the house of God today. It's a marvelous, marvelous text. As we think of what the Father had to say and declare at the beginning of our Savior's ministry about his own dearly beloved Son. May Christ be precious to us. May he be our beloved. May we love him. May we aim to love him as he loves us. May we aim to be like him and to please God. We pray that you will help us to take something from this message today that will be helpful and beneficial and challenging and a blessing, to live upon it, to act upon it, not to discard it so quickly, not to be the forgetful hearer of the word, but, Lord, one that receives the word and by the Spirit of God it's applied there in the heart. One who leaves the house of God today saying, Lord, speak to me, let your word abide in me, don't let it leave me so quickly, don't let me forget it. Oh, work on our hearts. Remember your servant in ICU just now. We thank thee that the love of the Father is upon him, has been with him in 80 years, so much of good life and blessing that he's been to others. But even now when he's sick, that love of the Father has not diminished one iota. And we bless thee for that. We pray that he'll even be there in his subconscious aware of that. And Mrs. Kearns know it too, and the family as well. Spread your covering wings around us now till all our wanderings cease. And at our Father's loved abode, may our souls arrive in peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And amen. Leave the message with you, and I'll be going down to the door. Pray for us as we have the afternoon meeting and tonight in the gospel. Trust the Lord will give you a good day. You'll be asked when to leave and to keep safe in church. Thank you.